Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, presenting all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. Bill Curry Ford, that's your first place to start shopping for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com, a Tampa tradition for 61 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Big Storm Beer, that's Florida's best craft beer. It's also the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Check it out. It's in Publix. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. You have a disaster in your home or your business, that's who you call, Florida's Elite Restoration.
I'd rather have Whitehead any day of the week, and I don't want any revisionist history going on. When I suck, I'll quit.
Buccaneers fans, it's Friday night. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast. You can find it at joebucksfan.com and all the different podcast platforms, at least most of them. Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Order a new Ford today, Ira. Not only do you have to put no money down, with your pre-order, you get $150 from Sean Sullivan, the GM, at Bill Curry Ford. Details at joebucksfan.com, at billcurryford.com. Sean will help you personally, whatever you need. And of course, Bucks fans need to be listening to the Best in Class podcast from Bill Curry Ford and Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He's also the GM at Bill Curry Ford. He's on a roll. It's draft season. Sean's all fired up. Ira's got his 2020 cherry red Ford Escape. Sage, how are you? We're deep into free agency here, the first wave, and it's crazy exciting again. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, for me, this has been the most exciting NFL offseason ever.
This Brady guy's a piece of work. He's a piece of freaking work. Forget about the 40 touchdown passes, you know, the 710 pass attempts. Forget all that. Lee, the guy's the greatest recruiter the NFL's ever seen. Can you just picture this, Lee? Just picture this. You know, Jason Light's in his office. He's got his cohorts around him. Scouts, Spy Tech, Greenberg, whoever else is in the room. And they decide, you know, hey, man, you know, this guy Shaq Mason, we might be able to trade for him. Let's run it past Tom. This guy Logan Ryan or something, I think we should pick him up. Let's run it past Tom. Russell Gage, you know, he's a free agent. There's about six other teams that are interested in him. Let's get Tom involved. Lee, we've never seen anything like this. Gage gets the phone call. Shaq Mason's got New England, pedigree. Ryan's got New England pedigree, former teammates. The ironic part, Lee, I believe Logan Ryan, 2 years ago, he was playing for Tennessee. And the last pass Brady ever threw as a Patriot was picked off by Logan Ryan. I believe that's correct. Yeah, that ended the Brady tenure. But, Lee, I'm not sure he's finished yet. I don't think Brady's done yet. There might be two more free agents out there off other teams that get a phone call from Tom Brady. Lee, imagine some kid out of Detroit. You know, he's a good high school basketball project, and he's thinking about where he's going to go. And the next thing, Lee, the next thing you know, Magic Johnson is in his living room with his parents saying, hey, how about going to Michigan State? How about going to Lansing? What do you think? Lee, we've never seen anything like this guy. We never will again.
No, probably not. I wrote this afternoon on JoeBucksFan.com, this guy's the Billy Mays of the NFL. No, wait, there's more. And I just thought it was very interesting that Logan Ryan, within a matter of hours, was released by the Giants, and he's with the Bucks, literally within a matter of hours. And Ryan Dunleavy, if I remember correctly, you know, sports reporter with the New York Post, and he said a source had told him, who knows, a source could have been Logan Ryan. A source told him that Logan Ryan was going to sign with a team that gave him a best chance to win a Super Bowl. Well, within a matter of hours, boom, he's with the Bucks and Brady. You want to win a ring, you go with Brady.
That's the voice of Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan. I'm Steve Isbitt. Sage, we're all fired up. But to reset the stage here for Bucks fans, Logan Ryan, Giants cut him. He was their safety for the last couple of years. And he's known as an alpha dog in the locker room, big leadership type of guy. He's got the couple of Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. And then he went to Tennessee, grabbed the money. And he's also a Greg Schiano man. He's a Jersey guy. He's from that group. The Patriots were drafting Rutgers guys for a while. and he's been had an excellent career. He also plays nickel. You know, he broke in as a cornerback, so it's really kind of unclear to me until we hear it from the big guys at $1 where he's going to play necessarily in this defense. Todd Bowles likes to move guys around a lot, and maybe he plays nickel. I don't know what they have in store, but either way, quality player. And like you said, Sage, Tom Brady calls, Tom Brady recruits. And, you know, it's funny that at $1, you know, they don't like to say Tom Brady's the GM. People don't like that. And I understand that because they have a GM and he's not running the salary cap and scouting a million players, some maybe. But here he is. He's telling Russell Gage, I got my eye on you and all this stuff. You know, in comes Logan Ryan, Patriots. In comes another former Patriot, Shaq Mason. It's got Brady's stamp all over it.
No question about it. Steve, I want to say something that might not be popular with Buck Nation. I think it needs to be said. Look, they lost Whitehead. They lost him because you can't keep everybody. It's not like they didn't want to keep Whitehead. I know Lee said the reports are they didn't make him an offer. I don't think they had anything against Whitehead. The kid's young. He was ascending. But, Steve, I want to say this. They scrambled very well to get Ryan. But let's not go overboard. Let's not go overboard here, Isbits. First of all, Ryan's 31. Whitehead's 25. I dare say at this point, I think Whitehead's at least as good a player as this guy is. That's my opinion. So let's not go crazy and say that the Bucs upgraded at the safety position. I don't like that kind of thinking. As soon as Whitehead leaves the team, people are ready to look for holes in Whitehead's game. From what I saw the last month or two of the season, he was the best defensive back on this team. Let's not go crazy over here. It's a nice scramble with Logan Ryan. I think he's going to end up being the slot guy, Steve, in terms of his future position with the Bucs. I could see that. But let's not say that this is a major upgrade over Jordan Whitehead, Lee. I don't believe that.
Well, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. And there's something spooky that assistant coaches allegedly wanted to keep Whitehead, and the Bucs never even tried, never even said, you know, what would it take to keep you? What would it take to keep you? So something spooky about that. Maybe he turned them off. Maybe something happened behind the scenes that maybe they didn't like the fact that he was dating a Bucs cheerleader. I don't know. But something spooks me. You know, here's a young guy. It's not like he's Logan Ryan in 31. And you figure he's just reaching his prime. You don't even ask him what would it take to keep you. Maybe they lowball him and you know, he likes the Brady effect and he wants to stick around for another ring. Just something is spooky that they didn't even try to keep him, especially if you factor in the assistants wanted to keep him. Now, I can sort of understand if it was rather than Logan Ryan, it would have been Honey Badger. Because obviously Honey Badger basically marrying into Todd Bowles family. We know Arians has a relationship with the guy. We know they're tight. Okay, I could see that. But Logan Ryan? I'm not saying Logan Ryan's a bad player, but Jordan Whitehead is a better player, as we speak, than Logan Ryan. I don't think that's obnoxious. I don't think that's overstating it.
That's very honestly, Steve. I'm not knocking Logan Ryan.
Hey, Sage, a couple of things here. You know, Lee mentioned Jordan Whitehead. You know, that's why you left the Tribune, isn't it, for dating a Buccaneers cheerleader? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, they took some pictures and they had me dead to rights.
Well, wait a minute here. Sage, I got to say this. Look, I can't think there's anything sinister just where I am about Jordan Whitehead. Right. I mean, if you offer a guy a contract, you run the risk, and it's a weird way to say it, but you run the risk of him saying, okay, I'll take it. And maybe they had a feeling in advance that, hey, Logan Ryan, the Giants have you know, fired their head coach. They got a new GM. He's telling Brady that he's out and he'll come there if they get rid of him. And maybe they had that in the back of their minds. Maybe Matthew was another guy in the back of their minds. Maybe they just thought that they could do better for the money. And rather than run the risk that they'd either A, insult Whitehead, or B, that he would take a lower deal or take a $5 million deal if they put it in front of him. He got a lot more with the Jets. Maybe they just thought, hey, we like the direction that this will give us, the dimension. I don't know. I don't know if it's sinister. Whitehead said to the New York media that Darrelle Revis, his cousin, told him so many great things about the Jets organization. He felt very comfortable there. And he said he liked what he heard from the head coach as far as how they're going to use him differently. He'll get to blitz in New York and be a lot more versatile. And he said, you know, no hard feelings with any of the coaches, love the coaches, learned from so many of many of them. So I don't know, maybe, I don't know who his agent is. Could be, like Lee said, maybe Jason Light doesn't like that guy and things got a little bitter behind the scenes or something. I don't know, but I want to know what you guys think. Smells to me like a good chance that they knew that they could get Ryan on the cheap. And it came out, it was on ESPN out of New York, that the Bucks had tried to sign Ryan in 2020 before they drafted Antoine Winfield Jr., but they couldn't work out the money.
Well, I understand your point, Steve. All I'm trying to say, guys, is I don't like any suggestion of revisionist history that Jordan Whitehead was somehow lacking.
No.
For example, I saw a tweet today, from a former Buck employee. Suggesting that this was an upgrade and Ryan is unbelievable.
I know who you're talking about.
And he does things that Whitehead can't do. And let me point out a couple of things. Logan Ryan, again, solid player. He's got one interception in the last two seasons. Let's not go crazy here. He's on his fourth team. Fourth. And he was released rather than Belichick trying to work out a trade for Logan Ryan. Good player. But I'd rather have Whitehead any day of the week, and I don't want any revisionist history going on.
Does this have the whiff of Derek Ward II?
I remember the Derek Ward signing. It was heralded. I think he came from the Giants league. Did he come from the Giants? Disaster. You know, now look, it's not like they spent $25 million on the guy, but he never did a damn thing. Logan Ryan's going to play. I think he's going to play nickel. Lee, where do you see him slotted?
Like Steve said, Bowles is going to use them all over the place.
Steve's had a couple of seasons with four or five sacks. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he might play safety. It'll be interesting to hear what they actually say. Derek Ward did come from the Giants, Ira. You're right. You know, no Broncos there. Straight from the Giants. He even started the big pool party tradition in South Tampa. I remember Lee writing a story of him dating Khloe Kardashian for a while in Tampa. So
he stole her away from me, Steve. Stole her right away from me.
He brought some intrigue in those lean years when the Bucks had a three-headed monster at running back and had nothing else. Anyway, Sage.
Real quick, Steve. As I suspected, I won't mention the person. As I suspected who Ira was speaking about, sure as crap stinks. I looked it up on Twitter, and there it is. I know exactly who you're talking about, Ira. I'm reading the Twitter.
Hey, Sage. Can I ask you a question here, Ira, in all seriousness? If this is a public tweet, why are we dancing around who the guy is? He wants it known out there. I don't understand.
They're not worth mentioning.
Yeah, thank you. Ira and I are taking the high road because this person hasn't taken the high road with us or Thomas Bassinger in the past. We'll be a better person.
Steve, here's the biggest point of all. 5 days into free agency, Lee, I'm sure you'll agree with me. The Bucks have done a fabulous job. A fabulous job. We'll see what happens with Sue, with JPP, with Golston. I'm still worried about the defensive line, Lee. I'm concerned. I think Buck fans have every reason to be concerned at this point. It's thin. And not a lot of experience there. That's going to be a big focal point going forward.
Florida's Elite Restoration is the superstar. They are the top free agent in the Tampa Bay area. Family-owned business. Smart business owners, property managers, plumbers, air conditioning contractors, builders, they know that if they have a flood on site, they reach out to Florida's Elite Restoration to come out and give a free assessment of what's happening. Florida's Elite Restoration knows how to work directly with insurance companies because owner Josh Martin was in the insurance business for well over a decade dealing with claims, and he knows the other side of it and knows how to make sure that you and your company and your clients do not get ripped off. It is so important when you have a disaster like a flood or mold or fire, wind damage, storm damage. Just reach out to Josh Martin. He will tell you all about what he can offer your business to take care of your clients. And homeowners, of course, can call Florida's Elite Restoration anytime, 24/7. That's your first phone call if you have a disaster. Floridaselite Restoration.com. Check them out there. You'll learn all about their services and you'll have somebody honest, ready for you when you have that time of need.
Florida's Elite Restoration. Floridaselite Restoration.com.
I'm willing to lay money. Jason Light drafts a defensive tackle. JPP, if they want to bring him back, he's going to be a bargain basement guy with his age, with his surgery. I mean, let's remember, the Bucks were seconds away from possibly going back to the Super Bowl, and JPP, he was a non-factor, especially in the passing game. So I'm not laying awake at night worried about JPP. Sue's the mercenary. You cut him a check, he'll play. You don't cut him a check, he'll leave. It's as simple as that.
Sage, does Tom Brady, who has 1 year left on his contract, do you think he sets up the Bucks where he's able to be free in 2023? Does he want his freedom in 2023, Sage, or does he want to restructure his deal, make a ton of money next year, and help the Bucks with the cap and do all that kind of stuff like he did last year? Or do you think he wants his freedom in 2023? It's an important question.
It's an important question, and I might be a bit naive here, which I've never been accused of, but you guys will slap me down if I am naive. I ask one question, guys, very simply. Why the hell would you want to leave? Why would you want to leave? You're surrounded by talent. You just had a fantastic season. There's no reason to think you're not going to have another outstanding season. You were the MVP runner-up. You got all kinds of clout that you might not have with your next franchise. You might not. You didn't have it in New England. Who says you're going to get it in San Francisco or Pittsburgh? Who says? You know what you got in Tampa. You got ownership that'll bend over backwards for you. You got light and Arians, compliant, and why not? Lee, why would you want to leave?
You may get a text out of that line, Ira. Light and Arians are compliant.
Ira, it's...
Lee, answer my question, Lee. Why would you want to leave? Come on.
You know what? Brady with the Bucks is like this play I just saw. At halftime, Texas and Virginia Tech, and a guy from Texas hit a three-quarter of the length court shot at the buzzer. That's been Jason Light's offseason. He hit a three-quarter court shot at the buzzer. That's what kind of offseason Jason Light's having. The only thing he hasn't gotten back yet is playoff Lenny and Sue, which would make it a full court shot made at the buzzer.
Well, Ira, I'm glad you mentioned that. Why would he want to leave? And there's sort of two things that are new that are tied to that. First, Deshaun Watson is now a member of the Cleveland Browns. And
indirect home run.
That's an indirect home run for the Bucks because it keeps him out of the division. And in theory, if Brady's looking around at the division when he thinks about 2023, and if he sees Taysom Hill and, you know, aging Matt Ryan, and the Panthers are going to draft a quarterback after Sam Darnold didn't work out. I mean, who knows what he's going to see, but he might be buoyed by that. But Sage, just because he wants flexibility in his contract for 2023 doesn't mean he wants to leave. So, but I hear you. If, like you said last podcast, the Bucks will give him whatever he wants. So why wouldn't Brady take a Buccaneers for life contract right now at an extraordinary money? You know, they can kick money down the road and he'll get it eventually. I don't know. I'm really curious to see what his decision is, if he's willing to say, hey, I'm a Buccaneer for life, or he says, hey, I want out, but maybe I'll come back in 2023. Let me see what the salary cap jumps up after all these new Amazon deals and the streaming rights. And if I were Brady, I'd feel sort of weird committing to anything without knowing how much that cap's going up.
I am not concerned in the slightest, with the scenario of Tom Brady playing for another football team. I am not. If I'm a Buck fan, that is not keeping me up at night. What is keeping me up at night is keeping Brady healthy. He said he's going to play until he sucks, Lee. When I suck, I'll quit. Well, he just was the runner-up for the MVP, and a lot of people think he should have won it, and I voted for him. He doesn't suck. And here's one more point in Tampa Bay's favor, besides the weather and the tax situation. There's so many things, Lee. So many. Here's one more. You're throwing the ball to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Ron Gronkowski, and Russell Gage. What else do you want, Lee? What do you want?
What do you want? The Bucks are loaded. Let's say Brady stayed retired. And from what you have told me, Ira, I think it's fair to connect the dots that one reason the Bucks weren't overboard trying to get Deshaun Watson like the rest of the NFC South was is because they had a pretty damn good idea Brady was coming back. If not, they knew Brady was coming back. So it was cursory. It was cursory interest. Well, let's say they knew Brady wasn't coming back. Deshaun Watson chose the Browns because it came down to he wanted to win. Well, you look at the Bucs roster. Is it a stretch to say that Deshaun Watson would be the Bucs quarterback today if Tom Brady didn't come back? Because if he used that same logic with the Browns, with the Bucs, well, heck, the Bucs roster's loaded.
Certainly the Bucs would be favored among all most of the suitors in terms of Watson's no trade clause. I don't see any reason why he would balk at going to the Bucs. Now, much would maybe depend on compensation, perhaps at that point. Ownership, although, Lee, from what we all know, I think we're all in agreement. I think ultimately you're faced with Gabbert and Trask or bringing in Watson. I got to think they get the okay to pursue Watson. I mean, that's my opinion. If Brady's officially retired and there's no way he's coming back. But, Lee, you make a great point. Why weren't the Bucs more involved in the Watson thing? They didn't seem to get that much traction in the national media, you know, 10 days ago. And I think it's because I know for a fact there were ongoing conversations between the franchise and Brady. And I think they had a pretty damn good idea, Lee, at that point that he was coming back.
Sage, Watson ended up with 5 years fully guaranteed, which is like unprecedented in the NFL. 5 years fully guaranteed for $230 million. Plus, Cleveland coughed up 3 first-round picks, a third rounder, and a fifth rounder. I think that's your answer right there, why the Bucs weren't interested to the extreme, because they probably knew what it was going to cost. And I don't know if Watson, you know, again, I think we're looking at it real short term. Watson is looking at his next destination as where I'm going to be for 10 years. I don't know if Watson, or at least five, if Watson would have looked at Bruce Arians and said, I like you, Bruce, but are you going to be my coach next year? I don't want a new coach. I've already been down that road. I don't know. I don't think the Bucs would have been very attractive to Watson just from the head coach standpoint, because you looked at least he knew, hey, they're committed to Dennis Allen and Carmichael, the play caller in the Saints, has been there forever. They love him. He's was the number two guy to Sean Payton. He'll be there for at least a while. And they love Arthur Smith in Atlanta. And he's an extraordinary play caller. He's saved Ryan Tannehill's career. He's done a lot of great things. A lot of mystery there. And I think that's why he didn't want to go to the Panthers, because he looked at Matt Rhule and said, well, who's my next coach?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, that's a complex issue. You're right. Maybe he thought Arians wasn't going to coach as long as he would be a Buck. You know, it doesn't matter now because number 12 is under center. Lee, in terms of personnel, well, the Browns have a great running game and a very good offensive line. And right now the Bucs don't have that without Fournette. They don't have that. But on the other hand, the Bucs have better receivers than the Browns. Not even close. So it depends how you want to look at it. But it's a moot point, Lee. Thankfully, it's a moot point because Buck fans are very happy with Mr. Brady under center.
As they should.
Sage, running back situation. We touched on it last time, and we're just in wait-and-see mode with Fournette. He's still on the market, testing the market. We haven't heard anything yet of him visiting anybody, so that's a good sign. Top 10 running back money for him would be $7 million. Last year, he made $3.5 million. None of us would sit here and say he doesn't deserve top 10 running back money, which is $7 million. That's what they paid Doug Martin a handful of years ago on his extension. So, Sage, we wait there, but somehow, and I think this is kind of interesting, at least, you know, Gronk, if he knows he's coming back, he doesn't have to sign for months, really, and that gives the Bucs flexibility, because Gronk will be like, yeah, I'll sign whenever you have the cap room for me, and they can play some games, and they can tell Gronk, hey, can we sign you in July? And this is what we'll pay you, but we got to wait so we can have some flexibility here. And if we can't get Lenny, we're going to have to pay him more, and then we might get rid of this guy. So they have some rare flexibility here, because I think it's clear already that Gronk's just going to, hey, I'll sign the deal when Tom tells me to sign to help you guys out. And they've got unprecedented flexibility to pull this off, Ira. So I need to know, is Lenny going to be here, and will they pay him what he wants, or is there a line in the sand on Fournette?
I think the running back situation changed decisively, markedly, unequivocally once Brady came back to the Bucs. And by that, I mean, you know, if it was Trask or Gabbert, I dare say you go with Keyshawn Vaughn, you let the chips fall, you go young, see what happens. If you're You know, if you're 4-2 or 5-2 and Vaughn's struggling, then you go out and get a veteran running back. But, Lee, when you got Brady and look what they're surrounding him with in terms of the new guard, you know, the new safety, the new receivers, plural. So we're back in all-in mode. And when you're in all-in mode, you got to go for Fournette, because when he's around Brady, Lee, he's proven that he's motivated.
You and I were both in agreement. If it was Trask or if it was Gabbert, they were definitely going to beef up the running back position, because they were going to need a very strong running game to help those guys out. Otherwise, it would have been a disaster. Now, I can't tell you who told me this, and I don't want you guys to guess out loud because I don't want it on the podcast. The person who told me this didn't want it out for public knowledge. But oddly enough, a couple days after I was told this, Aaron Wilson of Pro Football Network, used to be the Houston Chronicle, he put out that the Bucks and the Falcons were heavily doing research and working out and interviewing Isaiah Spiller, Texas A&M. And that's exactly the same guy who I heard 2 days ago I was told this. And the person who told me that, it wasn't to be for public consumption. I agreed. I won't say anything because I don't want to get that guy in hot water. Well, his cover's been blown, but his information's out there now. Isaiah Spiller and the Bucks. This guy is very much on the Bucks radar. He's very good running back, obviously, out of Texas A&M. Apparently, he's a devastating blocker, pass protection, which obviously you want and you need in the NFL. And if the Bucks are still going to draft a guy, well, obviously, you want to keep Brady upright. So it makes sense that if you're going to draft a running back, you want to make sure this guy can block. And apparently, this guy is a very good pass protection blocker in addition to catching the ball, in addition to running the ball. So I think they're going to CYA themselves in case playoff Lane doesn't come back, that they're really going to go after this guy from Texas A&M.
I understand that, Lee, but when you pick 27, Steve, there's no guarantees the guy's going to be on the board.
You could always move up. No, they're not chained to 27.
Steve, I got a point, Steve, that I think is interesting that nobody's talking about, and that is, why isn't there more interest in some of these Buccaneer free agents? Is anybody being linked to Ndamukong Suh? Has anybody talking about JPP going to another team and attracting some interest? Will Golston, Leonard Fournette? Steve, I'm not hearing any teams attached to these Buccaneer free agents. What's going on?
That's a very good question, Sage. A very good question. Excuse me. Let me take a sip of my Big Storm beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, as I prepare to answer this for you, Sage. And of course, anybody can have dinner, watch some basketball at one of the Big Storm tap rooms, Odessa, Clearwater, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center, BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage likes a good Bromosa, a Kolsch, the Bay beer, a little lighter for the Sage. Oh. Big Storm beer. Well, we love Big Storm beer, Sage. All right, look, good question, Ira. Very strong question. The Sage is not crazy. Sue, the last couple of years, first when they signed him in May initially, and then they re-signed him a little bit later. And then before the 2021 season, he re-signed in April. So like Lee said, Sue is shopping for the right check and the right situation. A year ago, it came down to Dallas and the Bucks, and he's got that reputation. So, you know, maybe he wants the Bucks to feel like, hey, I really am shopping around. I'm not jumping at a deal like these other guys. I'll go hang with Warren Buffett if you're not going to pay me. So I could see that. Maybe Golston, they told him, hey, you know, go test the market and this is what we can pay you. And maybe he's doing that. But like, you're right, Ira, we haven't heard of any visits, and he's a legit 3-4 defensive lineman with a lot of experience and a ring. You would think that somebody would jump on him, but if he really wants to come back, maybe he's being more patient. I think it's a byproduct of how much these guys really want to stay in Tampa. And to go to Lee's point, and I think it's very important to note, as you said, Ira, something else that nobody's talking about. The Patriots in 2018 drafted Sony Michel at the end of the first round, and they won a Super Bowl in part on the back of a rookie running back. So I don't think that's something that Tom Brady's going to be against. He's done it before. Michelle got the job done. I think he had like 900, maybe 1,000 yards, but it was like high 900s or something like that. And so I don't think he'll be scared.
I had heard 2 or 3 weeks ago that playoff Lenny looked like he, you know, the Chargers were a player.
I'm not hearing anybody linked to Leonard Fournette. Now, Steve, in terms of drafting a running back potentially at the end of the first round, you're not saying they would still do that if they bring Fournette back, are you?
No chance. I think we could talk about the draft here real quick, and then we'll get into it in further podcasts. And we can even end on this note because the draft is a hot, hot topic. And we thank Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start your shopping immediately. Check out the great new offer for any pre-ordered new vehicles, no deposit. It's at JoeBucksFan.com and at BillCurryFord.com. And we love Big Storm Beer, and our thanks, as we heard before, to Florida's Elite Restoration. Sage, as far as the draft goes, I think the number one priority of this team, A, is a Super Bowl, but B, is to keep Tom Brady for multiple years. And the way you do that is to draft on the offensive side of the ball this year. That's just where I stand. Tight end would be great. Offensive lineman would be great. Receiver would be great. I'm all in on whatever it takes to keep Brady. And we know that Brady is about who's my coach and what are my weapons look like and am I going to get hit. So that's where I stand. Where do you guys stand?
Interesting way to look at it, Steve. I think they need more help, frankly, on the defensive side of the ball. Lee, they averaged 30 points last year. I mean 30. So if they bring Fournette back and Gronkowski comes back, and all right, you lost Marpet, but you replaced him with a veteran guard, and Godwin's back. I'm not that worried on the offensive side of the ball, Lee, if Fournette comes back. I'm comfortable. So you know me with my defensive line obsession, Lee, my obsession. But I understand what Steve's saying. It's all about Brady. But you know what helps Brady? A little bit better defense. But, you know, defense wasn't bad last year. But so far, they look a little thin up front. And, Lee, when you're thin up front, you're back side is exposed, and I think on their best day, it's an average secondary. On their best day, when that pass rush isn't menacing.
The defense was weird last year, and this is why. You walk in any bar in the Tampa Bay area tonight, and you ask a guy, was the Bucs defense good last year? You'll probably get 80% of the people say no.
You're right.
Yet statistically, it was very good.
Yeah.
Aesthetically, it didn't look good. But statistically, it was good. I sort of lean Steve's point of view. You had an offense last year that you scored 30 points. If you don't think you can get Sue back, if you don't think you can get Golson back, what's the best way to overcome a bad defense? Score. And the Patriots did that a few times. They won a Super Bowl because their offense was so damn good. So you got the best that ever played at quarterback. You got receivers. Go get another left guard. Go get another running back. Go get, you know, whatever you feel like you need to do offensively, you do that. And I think that loss to the Rams pretty much proved it. I mean, you dug yourself a 27-3 hole, and you damn near came all the way back.
It's that magic number of 30, but I will say the previous year, 2021, they scored more points. So, excuse me, in 2020, they scored more points. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see him get more electric. Can we get a damn returner in here for a change?
Yeah,
can we get some juice? You know, we need the Sage screaming in his Bananas Foster there.
Is Bruce Arians going to be stubborn about Darden? Anybody that has one working eye can see Darden was forced on this team. Darden should not have been on the field, period. Mickens was better than him. There's no doubt about it. So, is Arians a year removed with all offseason to look at it, is he going to be stubborn and say, no, Darden's guy, he can do it, when everybody could see he couldn't do it?
That's interesting, Steve, because last offseason, especially the draft, but even partially free agency acquisitions, it was supposed to be, Steve, it was supposed to be the offseason of special teams. Remember that, Stevie? Offseason of special teams, upgrade here, return game, cover game, kicking. Well, you know what? Special teams, I would say ordinarily, to be kind, ordinary.
Yeah. Grant Stewart was pretty good on special teams. I think Britt was okay. So I think overall they did improve special teams, which isn't saying a lot.
Just to answer your question as we get out of here, Sage, and we're excited for you. As you did say, you're starting a diet next week. So you should be lean and mean, at least on the way, as you head to the NFL owners meetings for a 9,000 calorie buffet. And you're looking forward to that very much, I know. I'll say this, Lee, I think that Darden stays if Tom Brady thinks he can be something on the offense. If otherwise he's out. If they like his potential at receiver and Brady likes him, he'll stay and they'll suffer with him. Maybe give Scotty Miller a real shot in the return game this year, which he didn't get last year. All right, Ira, final thought and we will get out. What's the last word from the sage?
The last word, I'm already thinking about this diet, Lee. It starts on Monday. All the ice cream out of the freezer, all the bread, and I'm looking forward because I have a formula that I know is going to work, Lee. It's very simple. It's called Jenny Craig and a big chocolate shake. Big chocolate shake. What do you think?
So you're going to get your fill of strawberry shortcakes this weekend, right?
Everything that I shouldn't have is coming out of that refrigerator. I don't know if I'm giving it to Cosmo. I don't know if I'm giving it to the garbage collector. But, Lee, if it's not there, you can't eat it. So that's the way I'm approaching it. There you go.
Chain the sage to his couch for a week, and that's how he gets started. All right, Ira, good luck, and we will talk to you next week.